The Steve Cochran Show.
The golfing hero of Spain on this special date. And after so many years,
once and for all for Sergio.
Justin wasn't making it easy. He was playing extremely well.
Sergio is obviously the best player not to have won a major no longer. Anytime one of those types of players, there's a handful of them, and anytime one of those guys gets that huge monkey off their back, I think it makes it a poignant major championship.
But I knew what I was capable of doing, and I believed that I could do it.
720 WGN 810, Sergio Garcia won the Masters yesterday. Sudden death. Our next guest in studio, you can see him on the Golf Channel and NBC Sports. Sports fresh from the Masters yesterday, where he was on TV yesterday, flew back to Chicago. It is Mark Rolfing. Thanks for coming in.
Well, good morning. Chicago's the only place I would have left Augusta for, I can tell you that.
Tell me about the experience, first of all. We'll talk about Sergio in a second, but just tell me about the experience, because as a horrible golfer, I've always wanted to play, Augusta. Of course, I'd lose 70, 80 balls. But tell me about the experience when you're there at the Masters. I know you've done it, but is it special every single time?
There's nothing like it. The thing that would surprise you the most and does surprise people on their first visit is the elevation, just how severe the slopes are and how many up and downs there are. The only flat lie is on the driving range before they go tee off, and it just has a sense of history everywhere you walk, and I think one of the reasons why it has it is the players so embrace the Masters. If you asked 100 of the top players in the world if they could only win one more tournament in their career, which one would it be? 95 of them would tell you the Masters.
And Andrea, you've been there.
I've been. It's magnificent. It's majestic. We went to, if you ever go, I would encourage going to a playoff, the preview rounds before they actually start the tournament play, because that's half the fun. And the par three as well. It's just so pristine. It's so beautiful.
It's amazing to me how the Masters has grown its business so dramatically over the last couple decades. But they really haven't compromised the core of what they are. Billy Payne, the chairman, on Wednesday was asked if they were going to ever change the cell phone policy of no cell phones out there. And his answer was, you can ask the next chairman that question.
Right?
No.
Why would they ever do that? Why would they change anything?
I don't know. They're building things. I can tell you that the press building that came up somehow miraculously from last year is about the size of Columbus Square. It's just gigantic. It's just a wonderful, wonderful experience beginning to end, whether it's practice rounds or being there on Sunday afternoon.
Dustin Johnson slipped on the stairs wearing socks. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. There was a lot of speculation about what might have happened, but I was able to see evidence, and it was not on his back. It was on his elbow. So he had a major bruise and swelling on his elbow. So, yes, that's what happened. And I can tell you, knowing Johnson the way I do, he so wanted to play in the Masters. And I think had it been a warmer morning that morning, I think he might have tried it. But he just felt at the end there was no way.
We talked so much about Sergio before this tournament. Ironically, did you ever think you would see him win a tournament, let alone the Masters?
I did. His fiancé was a reporter for the Golf Channel a year ago. So I was pretty close to that whole relationship developing. And I will tell you, this is a new and improved Sergio Garcia. 4 or 5 years ago, he was saying, I'll never win a major. I'm not good enough. I've had my chances. Oh, woe is me. Every bounce was a bad bounce. He has a completely different attitude on life now. He's going to get married in July, and I didn't know whether that would translate into a major championship or not, but I know that he did have a totally new attitude from about a year ago.
0-for-73 in majors, and he nails it yesterday on the playoff hole.
So much of that is attitude, Pete, I think. It was interesting. Ernie Els may have played his last round in the Masters yesterday. He's played in 23. And he was asked afterwards, do you feel badly? What do you think? And he said, you know what? I had 23 chances. If you can't get it done in 23, maybe it's just not meant to be. So I think so much is the way you look at it.
Is there any reason, Mark, to think that Sergio is still young? I mean, that he won't, and obviously it's never promised, but that he won't win some more majors?
I think he can. These athletes are much better conditioned now at the age of 37. You look at Sergio, he's practically chiseled. Yes, and I got to tell you, this is exactly what golf needed. One of the issues with golf is it doesn't have a real rooting base. Who's going to root against Justin Rose? Nobody. But who's going to root for Justin Rose? Not very many people, unfortunately. The Ryder Cup has become so successful because there's a tremendous rooting interest, and that's what Garcia brings. That majority of that crowd out there yesterday was rooting for Garcia.
Tell me about that tribute to Arnold Palmer when they were teeing off. Jack Nicklaus was crying. I mean, that was really a moment.
Really was. There was a big void. Arnold Palmer was so much part of the Masters, and he was so much really part of my life and my career. I wouldn't be sitting here today if it weren't for Arnold Palmer. He's the one who changed the game. Was he the greatest player that ever lived? No. Was he the most popular? I would say yes. And has anybody had more of an impact on the game of golf over the years than Arnold Palmer? I don't think so.
Yeah, I thought one of the cool moments was, I think it was Saturday with Jordan Spieth off the pine straw. When he asked his caddy, he said, what would Arnie do?
Yeah, I mean, that was a silly shot, I thought. I mean, it was only Saturday. Had it been Sunday, maybe you try that shot to try to pull it off. But to me, the safest play would have been a layup. But it's just amazing to me that Spieth was thinking about Arnold Palmer right at that moment. Right? It just shows you.
His impact, you're right. Mark Rolfing in studio with us. We're going to come back. Excuse me. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about Jackson Park in a second. Thank you for joining us. Let's take a look at traffic. Mayor? WGN 821 in studio with us from the Golf Channel, NBC Sports. Fresh from the Masters, it's Mark Rolfing. Thank you again for coming in. When did you fly in from the Masters?
I left Augusta at 12:30, and I was at Midway by 2 o'clock.
Okay, so you saw everything.
I saw everything from pretty much the 8th green on.
Okay. First of all, tell me about the Chicago Parks Golf Alliance. What is it?
Well, Chicago Golf needed a hub to sort of take a look at the various initiatives that might be possible to rejuvenate the golf brand in Chicago. So we formed this 501c3 Chicago Parks Golf Alliance, a little bit like what was done out in San Francisco a few years ago. But really, that is the hub organization, a charitable organization that then deals with the city, with the park district, with the Western Golf Association, with all the various entities. So it's really the hub of this initiative.
So you're trying to make golf affordable for all people?
Well, if not free for kids, the answer is yes. I mean, the three problems really that golf is faced with in today's world is the game's too difficult, it takes too long, and it costs too much. And really everything we're trying to do here revolves around how do we help work towards solving those three issues for the game.
If you want to play golf in the city, I mean, there are the Park District courses, but normally a lot of people go out to the suburbs to play the big country clubs.
Right.
Or
yeah.
I'll play South Shore, Merrivitz, Black, Robert Black up on the north side. But this is going to be, I think, this is going to combine Jackson Park and South Shore, right? It's going to make two big courses right in that area.
It is. We are not going to go, in terms of the restoration, outside the envelope of what is already there when it comes to golf. There's 27 holes. We're going to end up with 18 championship holes that are still at the same time playable for the community guys that play down there and ladies. But also we're going to develop a short course because we really feel like this is a project that can change the game and change the culture of the community down there when it views golf.
Yeah.
How's it being received, Mark, so far?
The reception has been just phenomenal. I wouldn't have gone along as far as I did if there had been significant opposition. It's interesting. Those two courses, Jackson Park and South Shore, been there for over 100 years, and they really haven't been fixed up since. Yeah. So irrespective of whether or not the BMW Championship ends up there, I believe the community needs to have those two courses fixed up. The drainage is terrible. It needs a new irrigation system. A lot needs to be done. The other thing is there hasn't been great access for the community over to the lakefront. And part of what we're going to do when we combine the two courses is create more access back and forth to the lake for the community that really has nothing to do with golf.
That's going to be great.
That's another thing. It's easy because of the trains. You can get there for kids and youth and whatever. Not all the courses. If you're going to go play out in Glencoe, they're going to take a train and then a cab. You know, it's
right.
So it's
right.
Actually a commuter-friendly area.
Why did this take so long? It seems like a no-brainer.
I don't know. There isn't really a core golf organization in this town. And I remember first talking with the mayor when we were really, you know, cranking up the thought of studying the feasibility of this. And he looked at me and said, you know, I think you're my golf guy. Go figure it out. And I sat there and
I
thought,
what are you going to say?
Well, yeah, what are you going to say? But also I thought, well, how come there isn't another golf guy? Where is the other golf guy? So it just needed a cheerleader. It needed a little bit of glue. And really, that's the role that I've played here.
I mean, you've seen a lot of golf in your lifetime. Who has the most natural swing? You look at somebody and say, God, I wish I had that.
I thought you did. That's what I heard.
I need so much help with my game.
I don't know. Adam Scott, I would say, probably has the prettiest swing in the game. It really is a remarkable swing. But you're not going to see those beautiful natural swings as much anymore because it's turned into a power game at the highest level. And
Right. It's
all about distance and overpowering golf courses now. That's why you're seeing more athletes like Dustin Johnson that are playing golf that would have turned to basketball or some other sport, let's say, a couple of decades ago, even.
He really wants to say Angel Cabrera has the most beautiful swing.
That's Mary's favorite. The
problems you mentioned that are facing golf, including the time it takes to play and the difficulty of the game, what are we doing to make it an easier game? Is it technology? Is it more instruction, more available instruction, and also to speed it up?
Yes, 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 and yes. The first thing is we have to change the rules. The rules are way too complicated, and particularly for beginning golfers that don't understand the rules, that's an impediment to them having enjoyment and playing the game. The second is we have to embark in an educational initiative to inform people that a golf course does not have to be green and lush and perfectly manicured like Augusta National. That's a once-a-year phenomena down there. And brown golf courses, where you don't put as much water on them, actually play easier for beginning golfers because you can bounce the ball, you can roll it onto the greens, but they don't have that in their mind yet. And so I think a lot of this is education. We have to spend less money maintaining our courses, and that then would translate into lower costs.
And I think because I'm involved in the first tee, and the something that we talk about there is the shorter courses, making the smaller courses for youth, the larger ones are unplayable, and it makes it unappealing because even if you play with kids and they tee off from the 100 or 150, there's a lot of sitting around for them that they're not interested in doing. So if you're going to get them out and excited, it has to be like a playable course.
Sure.
Also, that's why these public courses are really important, because most of the people playing golf didn't go to the country club with their parents, play during that.
They grew up on public courses.
Right. And
you're
so
right.
We, with the lack of those, there's a lack of kids playing. So that's another component of the Jackson Park thing, is there's going to be a facility for the first tee. So that's like a safe haven. There's a dire need for places to go for kids in that area. And this would be a place with adults that care about them, that are interested in teaching them core values that aren't even just about golf, more just about, you know, how to be a great person and respect each other.
It's always been, it's out that South Shore's always been a hidden gem too, though. It's right along the lakefront. It's quick. It's playable.
You're right.
I mean, so that's a perfect foundation for which to build this and build this new course.
You know, when Tiger Woods first looked at the property, which was August 11th of last year, we spent the entire day down there. And sure, he just could not believe. He was astonished by what he saw at South Shore, and he was astonished with the potential for lakefront holes, and saw this par three right on the lake, and saw a way to take the hole that goes right along Lakeshore now, where people are pinging cars all the time with balls and bend it inward.
Lost a few balls there myself, yeah, by the way.
Yeah, so he saw all that, but I will tell you, that was not what really convinced him that this is something worth doing. He must have asked me 10 times that day, where are all the kids?
Right.
It was a beautiful Thursday afternoon.
God, you're right.
Summer in Chicago, and he just kept saying, Mark, where are all the kids?
Yeah.
And that's what really hooked Tiger on this thing.
That's awesome.
And that's what's important. We have got a lack of that anywhere. Kids only do things in organized activities now. They don't just go out and play. They don't just go to the basketball courts. They don't just go, you know, to anything until it's organized. That's why if there was organized system there, like the first tee kids first would have yep. things that they were enrolled in, and they'd be out there playing. And sure. then once you learn how to play, you'll want to play
right.
all the other
first
time that's available.
First tee's such a great organization. I'm glad you brought that up, too. It's a great organization. It gets kids involved, especially in caddying, too.
We're going to have a caddy program, if you can believe this. Yeah. The golf course is obviously not going to be done this summer because we really haven't begun the construction work yet. But we are going to start instituting programs down there. And the Western Golf Association is going to be sort of the guiding light of a caddy program that's going to start at Jackson Park this summer, where kids can get jobs and learn how to caddy. And you're going to be able to go down there and play Jackson Park and take a caddy. And it's going to be subsidized and paid for by the Western Golf Association.
That's fantastic. Great.
What is the website? People can get more information.
ChicagoParksGolfAlliance.com.
Mark Rolfing.
.org, sorry.
.org. Thank you for coming in. Fresh off the Masters, Mark Rolfing. Good to see you.
All right, thanks, guys.
It's 720 WGN.